My name is Amy, and I have been teaching dreams for many years, and I travel with John Paul Jackson. I used to travel with John Paul Jackson, have studied dreams, taught internationally, have really, really feel like my message in this season of my life right now is really teaching people how to engage with the Lord. And not so much how to engage with the Lord, but how He wants to engage with you. That's really my message in this season of my life. It really is learning how all the multiple ways that God speaks to us and to really deliver that message. And tonight I really want you to grasp that God wants to engage with His people. And specifically in this season, in the last days. Why? Because in the last days He will pour out on all flesh dreams and visions, right? His Spirit. And old and young men will dream, will have visions, and old men will dream dreams. And so my thought process in as the years have gone was, if He's going to pour out His Spirit and many people will dream, then who will be there to interpret them? Right? So my passion is to teach people how to interpret dreams, not only for yourself, but how to teach people how to interpret dreams. And how to mainly how to interpret dreams for non-believers. Because it says He will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And so when these non-believers, and we're going to go through today and find out how many non-believers in the Bible had dreams. And we're going to find that our nation, people are dreaming. And how do we know? Because they're seeking out the supernatural. And the only thing that they know how to do is be led to where? The New Agers. That's what's happening. I'm watching it over and over again because the liturgical church and the evangelistic church does not have a place to teach the supernatural.
Come on.
And truly, it's not really supernatural. Having dreams is very natural. But we make it the woo-woo of God. And it's really not. It really is naturally the way that God wants to speak to you. But people who don't know Christ are moving into the New Age realm. And one of my callings is to go into the New Age realm and bring them back.
Yay.
And let them know that they are gifted, that they've got a calling on them, that they're prophetic in nature.
Right.
It's just that their satellite's a little off. That's all. It's just a little off. They hear from familiar spirits and not from our God. Right? So I want to tell you a little bit, in the Hebrew model, dreams and visions are, they're very interchangeable, okay? So when you read dreams or a vision at night, it really means that it's either or. And really you can't tell because the way the Hebrews wrote the word. Actually, one of the Hebrew words for dream is kalam. Or if anyone speaks Hebrew, please correct me. No, see? Everywhere I go, it just all sounds good. So, because I speak Hebrew, I said, it's kalam, and it means to bind firmly to. That's what that word means. Have you ever had a dream that you couldn't shake? You woke up, you can almost remember every detail, right? It's because God binded firmly to you. Isn't that neat?
Yes.
And so those words are used interchangeably. Visions and dreams. I want to spend a little bit of time before we jump into actually interpreting dreams, because I definitely want to do that. I'm all for throwing you into the fire, and it's fire by trial, and I'm good with that. When we have dreams, so we have dreams and visions, but has anyone ever had deja vu? All you have, so just raise your hands. This is interactive. So if you have any questions, please stop me at any time. Really, I don't want this to be a seminar so much as a teaching and for us to engage with one another. And so if you do have questions, please definitely raise your hand. I might not know the answer, but my husband knows everything. So between the two of us, we might come up with some answers. No, but deja vu. Does anyone know what deja vu is? Has anyone ever explained it to you? Or what we believe deja vu is? Deja vu is the spiritual and the natural colliding together. Everyone go, that's intense, right? And see, why? Why is the spiritual and natural colliding together? Why? Because before you were born, your DNA, your destiny was implanted in it. He knew you before you were even born, right? Amen. So if he knew you before you were born, he knew the beginning and he knew the end. See, as God walks with me now, he's walking with my grandchildren right now. Because, see, there is no time with God. And so when we dream, we come outside of time and we operate in the spiritual, in the spirit realm, right? So what we're finding is that when you're having dreams, you're actually engaging in the spirit realm. That's why you feel that feeling that you're falling asleep. And when you get kind of woken up and you kind of come back and you have that whoosh feeling, it's because your body was about to interact into the spirit realm. Because that's why he shuts down, so we can come up. And we operate in another realm. Right? Because there's no time. And that way he can impart into you all kinds of things. And we're going to see biblically what I mean by that. But deja vu really is your destiny was imprinted in your DNA before time ever was. Therefore, as you walk through life, children have deja vu a lot more. Do you remember as a child you used to have deja vu a lot more than you do now? It's because we get off track. And dreams really are, as we walk along, it's really soul scripting. And I know that sounds like a New Age term, as someone put on my Facebook. But soul is mind, will, and emotions, right? Mind, will, and emotions. And that is a biblical word. Imagine that. And script just meant pre-written, right? Not New Age. Even when you put them together, not New Age. What we really needed to look at is probably her prejudgments in writing that statement. Yeah. That was the most critical issue there. But soul scripting really is your soul is acting out that which it was in your destiny. And so dreams are like a kind of like a lamp that shows you your character. See, dreams are all about character. It's all about your character. Because God is, he's about your character. How are you handling a situation? You know, you can go and do mighty exploits, and it's all well and good. But he can use someone else just as well. But what he's really after is your heart. That's what he's really after. He's after your character and your integrity. Because, see, walking in integrity and character keeps your path straight. And it's then we experience deja vu. It's kind of God's way of saying, you're on the right path. You're interacting in your destiny. It's the spiritual and the natural colliding. That's why you feel like, raise your hand if you've ever, when you have deja vu, you think, oh, I've dreamed this before. Because you did. Because it was.
What about anticipating?
Yeah. Yeah, you anticipate. I do too. Even though I teach it, I still do that. You do. You anticipate it. And because you don't know what else to do with it. Because we are taught, and because we're taught that, I don't know, I grew up hearing that it was because I was tired. Really? Okay. And so I got on a journey to find out, what is that deja vu thing? What is that? It was so amazing to me because you feel the spirit. Don't you feel the spiritual interaction in it? It's like you were, I am, and wow, there I was. All like in a brief second. And so God uses deja vu to keep us on track and to let us know, hey, you're there. You're interacting in your destiny. You're interacting in your dream life. Because your dream really isn't just some far out thing that we do at night. Your dream is your spirit is still alive and active. And it keeps you on track. And it keeps you, as we dream, we're raised up into the spirit realm where there is no time. And see, that's where Gideon, when he was interpreting the dream of the Midianites, raise your hand if you remember. He was interpreting, yeah, my class goes, I remember. Right? The Midianites, when he went down to the camp, the Midianite camp, right? And he heard the dream of the people were dreaming. Do you remember this?
Yes.
So they were having the conversation, and the Lord told Gideon to go down there and listen. And so when he went down and listened, he heard the dream, and the guy said, it's none other than Gideon and the sword of Gideon. Remember? Who was Gideon? Gideon was the, who do we know Gideon to be? He was like, really, Gideon? You are called. You just want to shake him and go, you're called. Right? But what happened? Because of the revelation that he heard, because dreams are spirit-to-spirit communication. That's all it is, spirit-to-spirit communication. It's revelation. As I read scripture, I encounter revelation. When I have dreams, I encounter revelation. It's the same revelation. I can read scripture today, and it will mean one thing to my life. I can read scripture a year from now, the same scripture, and it means something completely different, because there's no end in that well. Same thing with dreams. So when I write down my dreams today, and I have a dream today, when I read it 2 years from now, it's going to mean something completely different. Because it's just revelation. It is revelation. And spirit-to-spirit communication. Isn't that great? Well, some scientific observations that we have, that y'all would have, but you don't. Is that, and when you get your hand out, you will be able to have just some key correlations scientifically. How many of you know that you dream about two? Okay, first of all, how many of you have ever taken a dream course? Raise your hand. Okay, good. So, perfect. And so the rest of you have not had a dream course. How many of you dream on a regular basis? Okay, let me start over. How many of you don't dream at all? Go ahead. It's okay if you don't, because we're going to fix that tonight. If you don't dream at all, or you stop dreaming, or okay, we're going to go through reasons why we've stopped dreaming. But guess what? You do dream. You do dream, because scientifically, if you did not dream, you would have a nervous breakdown. Even non-believers know that. Even scientists know that. So you are dreaming. It's just that you're not remembering them. And we're going to go over reasons why we don't remember them. But you dream 2 hours out of your evening, and usually it's right before you wake up. It's in that alpha stage. You have alpha, then you have theta, and you go into the delta stage. And so you kind of go through that during the evening, all throughout the night. And so you'll peek out at alpha, about 90 minutes or so. You kind of dream a little, go back in. But the dream that you really want to pay attention to is called twilight dreaming. How many of you ever are laying there thinking and you're sleeping and you're just coming out and you have like snapshot dreams, like these little bitty dreams that you're kind of awake and kind of asleep? Yeah, everyone, just do this just to amuse me. Yeah. Well, those are called twilight dreams, and those are very, very important dreams. Those are the ones you want to write down. Those are serious dreams. And the reason why you want to write them down, because those really are snapshots of everything that you had been dreaming throughout the night. What happens is you'll dream throughout the night, but it'll be the same. It'll be around the issues of your heart, the things that you're working out. As non-believers would say, or scientists would say, you know, you're working out things that are your struggles of your life. Well, guess what? As believers, still working out the struggles in your life. So those are around the issues. So you want to take those snapshots. Prophetic people tend to have very short dreams, like snapshot dreams, whereas intercessors have these epic dreams. Some people come to my conferences and they bring me these thick dreams, and I'm like, seriously? Can you interpret these for me? All 800 pages? But intercessors will typically have longer dreams and epic dreams. Men generally have war dreams, fighting, epic. It's kind of like watching, 300, Braveheart. Yeah, exactly. Braveheart, right. Whereas girls, we have more dreams about our houses and our childhood home, and we were walking with, and the dog, and those are the kind of dreams we have. But shorter and longer just really depends on your personality, too. Find that a lot of prophetic people will have kind of short dreams. In fact, I can tell somebody's dream, somebody's intercessory life, and the depth of their relationship by what they're dreaming. You can. And it's amazing. Intercessors generally have dreams about other people, which we call extrinsic dreams. Whereas prophetic people oddly enough, we have a lot of dreams about ourselves. We do. It's very interesting. I don't know why. I haven't figured that one out yet. When I do, I might get set free. Did you know that Hebrews believe that if you have gone more than 3 days without having a dream, that there is something wrong with your relationship with God? That's how serious they took. See, they didn't have this. Right? So they didn't, see, our liturgical model tells us this is the only way God speaks. So we box him in and say, this is the way God speaks. But there's what's called a revelatory continuum. And a revelatory continuum is this. God speaks in Scripture. Then if you don't get it, he sends the prophet in. He'll give you a prophetic word. He'll give you a dream. He speaks to you through a trance or an open vision. Sometimes he speaks to you through deja vu or daydreaming. Sometimes he speaks to you through translations or transportations. It's all different revelatory continuums. See, we are a very, very small group of people in the liturgical or evangelistic movement that believe that God speaks through dreams. See, we're very small. But because we circle around each other as charismatics, we are charismatics here, right?
Amen.
Okay, just checking. Because we circle around each other, we tend to forget that there's a whole Lutheran side. In fact, my husband and I were missionaries in Honduras for a while, and the people who really accepted this, now imagine I'm on a mission field with Catholics, or used to be Catholics, now they're Pentecostals, that trying to explain to them this whole dream thing was way too out there for them. Of course, they were throwing up on the floor and doing deliverance stuff, but I won't go there. Anyway, the things that they thought they believed in were strange. And so, but the Catholics there, because they were so open to the supernatural, the Catholics there gravitated to that. They totally got that. But see, I had a wonderful time last year or year before. John Paul and I, we all went up and flew up to Minnesota, and we got to speak to 600 Lutheran pastors about dreams. Very interesting, I might say. So they're just now coming. Here's these 600 Lutheran pastors, and they're actually called the head of the revival, Lutheran revival, Holy Spirit revival. So there's about 600 of them. And they were like, this whole dream thing was like so new to them. It was unbelievable. And I'm sitting here going, I've been teaching this for years in the charismatic churches, but we're just like this. And so it's going to be us. Us means me and you. It's going to be us who's got to learn how to interpret our dreams so that we can help others guide them into their destinies and help them, help God, you know, to help show them what God's trying to tell them for their life. Raise your hand if you believe that God speaks to you through dreams. And even if you don't, you do now because you're too embarrassed not to raise your hand. No. I just call it like it is. One of the things that we have to talk about, and one of the things I really like to talk about, is sometimes we stop dreaming because we don't take our dreams serious. And what I mean by that is we don't, if you're not writing them down and paying attention to them, and you wake up and you dismiss it, then you don't believe God speaks to you in dreams. It may sound good. And it may sound like the right thing to say today, because we're in a group of people who just raised their hand. But you don't really. Because if you did, and you knew the Father was speaking to you, you would never dismiss it. Right? So we're all going to commit right now that we will not dismiss our dreams anymore. It's important for you guys to say in your heart, I believe that God speaks to me through my dreams. The Father wants to engage with his people. The Father wants to speak to you and guide you in even the littlest things. If you're dreaming daily, it's because he's handling situations. There was a season that Robert and I were going through a very tumultuous time in a church. I call it my vineyard stripping. If you've ever been to vineyards, you might know what that means. But it was a time where God was just, I mean, tearing down anything and every. It was right before I got hired with John Paul. Of course, I didn't know I was getting hired with John Paul. I just thought I was never going to be in ministry again, and everybody hated me. And so going through this stripping. And during this time, God started giving me and my husband dreams so specific that it was they actually revealed what was happening in the elders' quarters with the elders before it ever happened. He gave us insight information into what was going on so that we knew how to answer when we were brought before the elder board. See, we have these dreams, but here's my problem. Is we have these dreams, and then we're like, what do we do with it? At what point are we taking these dreams and changing the world? When? I see it. I see it in the Bible. Why are we not doing it? We have dreams, and you might send it off to someone to get written. But where are the dreams that are changing corporations? Where are the dreams that are changing nations? Where are those dreams? When you're called to the prophetic ministry or the office of the prophetic, when you're called, see, how many of you believe that you are prophetic? Raise your hand if you're prophetic. Everyone in this room should be raising their hand right now because every single one of us are prophetic. Prophecy just means what? Somebody tell me. Revelation? Come on, you can do it. The testimony of Jesus Christ. That's all it is. It's all it is. It's the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's all prophecy is. Prophecy is able to hear God and speak. Can we all hear God? And amazingly, we all have mouths. So we're all prophets. It says desire prophecy, crave, pine after, want, desperately need prophecy. Hear from the Lord. We're all prophetic. So there's a difference between being prophetic and being... It just moved, didn't it? There's a difference between being prophetic and being called to the office of the prophet. The office of the prophet are those who do have dreams or a prophetic word, and CEO corporations are changed, and communities are changed, and nations are changed. See, those are different. But you should all be having dreams that change your family and the level of authority and influence that you have. Right? I think we got the whole point on dreams. Dreams are from God. Do we all agree now? We can continue. Good. Seven reasons why we should listen to our dreams. If you guys want to take notes. Seven reasons why we should listen to our dreams. God declared that He would speak through dreams and visions in the Old Testament. And that's Numbers 12, verse 6. And it says, "And He said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you," that's you and me. "If there be a prophet among you," that's you and me. "I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak to him in a dream." Raise your hand if you're prophetic. Oh, see, now everyone's raising their hand. That's right. So He will speak to you in a dream, right? Number two, God declared that He did speak through dreams and visions in the Old Testament. "I have also," this is Hosea 12:10. "I have also spoken by the prophets. I have multiplied visions by the ministry of the prophets." Remember, visions and dreams can be used interchangeably in the Hebrew. God declares that He will communicate through dreams and visions in the New Testament. For all you people who don't believe in the Old Testament, here's your New Testament scripture. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Now then, I'm just going to clarify something here. Does that mean young people will have visions and only older people will have dreams? No, that's called the maturity continuum. It's really speaking of the depth of your relationship. See, when you start interacting with God in dreams, your relationship and the depth in which you communicate with the Lord goes much, much further, right? Because it's the fullness thereof. Yes, we read Scripture, and we hear from Him in Scripture, And yes, we hear the prophetic word come from friends or family or pastors, or but now we have another way that he speaks to us on a regular basis. Don't you want to hear from him?
Yes.
Now, the great thing is that not only are we going to want to hear from him, that we're actually going to know what he's talking about with all those symbols he uses. God declares that, number four, God declares that he will counsel us at night through our dreams. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind, which is the inner man, instructs me in the night. Is he just saying he'll instruct me at night? No, because we know he speaks. He instructs us in the day and the night. So what's he talking about in that night as we slumber upon our bed? Yes. That is Psalm 16:7. Thank you for interacting with me. Say that again. Wait, you don't know that verse? Acts 2:17. Just y'all pretend you know the verses. It's my team. Rather, number five, rather than our dreams being fatalistic, dreams are calling us to change so we will not perish. This is one of my very favorite verses. Job 33, which is what what Robert was singing tonight. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon him, in slumberings upon his bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instructions. Everybody go,
wow.
He sealeth your instruction. I have proof. He sealeth your instruction. How about we figure out how to unseal it? You want to? We're going to do that tonight. We're going to learn how to unseal that. He openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose. Because you know, when you wake up, we all got our own purposes in life. Right? He wants us to have whose purpose? And the destiny and path in which he put us on. So what he does is, and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. All in a dream. In a dream. He does all that in a dream. For God speaketh once, yea, twice. Why did he put that there, yea, twice? What do you think he meant? Genesis 41, 32. So check me on that. Genesis 41, 32. Says, remember Jacob or Joseph, he said that he had the dream and he had it twice. And it's what it said is, because he had it twice, it will surely happen and come to pass quickly. That's called the law of two. One day I'm going to write a book on all the laws. That's called the law of two. And the law of two states that if it happens twice, it surely will happen and it will happen quickly and it will come to pass quickly. Have you ever had a dream that happened and you had the dream and then you had it again? Okay, I got one for you. Have you ever had a dream, the whole dream? And then the same night, you had a repeat of the whole dream again?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yes. That me. And I bet you it happened quickly, but you probably didn't recognize it. I'm going to teach you how to recognize it. I had a friend of mine. I teach my class how to hear with their ears. We're going to talk about that next month. But I teach them how to hear with their ears. And what does that mean? Hearing with your ears means this. God wants to not only speak to you in Scripture or the prophetic person, or our dreams, or situational prophetic, or there's so many ways. But you know that our world is crying out. See, we hear prophetic people talking a lot about tornadoes and the economy, and it's all manifestations of what's happening in the spirit realm. See, everything that happens, all of this is a veil. You with me? It's all a veil. See, there's a whole world going on the other side. And what happens is that which is manifested in the spiritual will then begin to manifest itself in the natural. You with me? So when you're driving in your car and you get a flat tire on the front right side, and that typically doesn't happen, I believe God's trying to tell you something. We got a prophetic word from a guy named Ron Campbell. He's from South Africa. Me and my husband believe that all prophetic words sound much better with a South African accent. It meant a lot more to us. It just sounded better, I'm just telling you. So we had, he gave us this word, and it was a very clear and direct word. And I call this the cost versus clarity theory. The cost versus clarity theory says this. If a dream comes to you and it's a lot of symbolism and it's kind of vague, you have a lot more grace. When it comes clear and concise and you know exactly what it means, guess what? A lot less grace. Your obedience to it is serious. All right? Well, this word came to us and it was very, very direct and very clear. Very clear. And I just left there going, we're in trouble. And so all around us, our life started unraveling around us. Imagine that. Joseph had a dream. Given a dream, all 11 brothers would bow down before him. But what happened? He ended up somewhere in a dungeon. Looked completely different than he thought it would, didn't he? Yeah. So when a prophetic word comes, usually your whole life gets turned upside down or an aspect of it. This prophetic person actually mentioned times from the very beginning of our marriage, all through our words that were given to us through our marriage, and then words that, then repeated conversations that were in that day that I had, and they gave us a future word. So guess what? Our whole life unraveled around us. Well, a week later, a bike got stolen from our yard, my son's bike. A 17-year-old's bike got stolen. And I stopped for a minute because we don't have that happen generally. And I went, he's on our property. So the Lord showed me what was happening in the spiritual is manifesting in my natural. See, I see things completely different than most people do. And I want to teach you that message. So I took note. I said, told my husband, it's coming up on our property. The week later, our car was broken into. That generally doesn't happen. And I thought, car is what drives us, propels you. And dream symbols, that's what drives you. It propels you. It could be if you're a college student. It could be your education. If you're a housewife, your family. If you're in ministry, your car can mean your ministry. If you're CEO or boss, it could mean your business. So I began to pray. And my husband said, the next step is for him to come in our house. Oh, and boy, did he. It was like a whirlwind of warfare going on. But it was manifesting in our natural. A friend of mine, a girl in one of my classes, she walked down the hall. And as she's walking down the hall, she took a step and there was a little yellow ball, right? And it was on the ground. And she went to go step on it. And then she just kind of passed over it and walked through. She did whatever she needed to do. And it was the day I was teaching that class. And she came back. And as she was walking back down the hall through the church, she went to go step, and there's that ball again. So being the good student that she is, she picked up that ball and said, okay, Lord, this is the second time I've almost stepped on this ball. What are you trying to tell me? So she brought it into class one day, and I looked at it, and I'm not as prophetic as I'd like to be, and I go, I don't know what to tell you. She's like, you don't know what it means? I'm like, not really. So she, I said, but you pray about it and ask the Lord what it means to you. So she began to talk to me. We're talking about our whole lives falling apart. And she has this ball and she goes, oh, I got it, you know. And she tells me, I just feel like the Lord's telling you to roll with it. And all of a sudden we were like, oh, we looked down at the ball and we're like, that's what he's trying to tell us. He's trying to say, roll with it. You got to roll with it. Yellow represents fear, not operating in fear. And so he began speaking to her. So she's seeing things that are happening in her natural that don't normally happen. And that's how we interpret dreams. See, I teach my class this. If this were a dream, what would it mean? If this were a dream, what would it mean? We view life as a dream because it's just spirit-to-spirit communication. So if this were a dream, what would it mean? Right? I encourage you guys, as you walk through your week, the rest of your week, to ask that question, if this were a dream, what would it mean? And ask the Holy Spirit to bring to you what the meaning of the symbols are. See, I asked, this was interesting because I never really got the bike, because in dreams, bikes are not typically a good symbol, just so you know. Bikes are something, it's individualistic. You have to use it to propel yourself. You strive, Typically not a good sign. So when it was stolen, I kind of was like, not 100% on that whole thing. And I really didn't get the revelation until later. But one of the things that are being removed from our life is propelling ourselves, being individualistic, striving. And I went, okay, I'm with you. Explain the whole car thing, though. But I'm with you. And it's just fun. You know why? You know why it's fun? Because what does the word say? The word says it's to the glory of a king to hide a matter, and the glory of a king to search a matter out. He's the king, and you're the king. He's the master, you're the king, depending on which translation you're reading. He loves to hide things, and he likes for you to figure them out. It's the Song of Solomon dance. It's the, I'm going to run and hide, and you come find me. Oh, here I am. It's the dance. It's all a dance. He loves to play with his people. He loves to engage with them because we really are children. Dreams are fun, trying to dig through them and learn the symbols and understand them. It's all about searching a matter out. Your whole life is about searching out your destiny, finding, if you are not searching and you have come to a place where you just are, it is not a good place, is it? Engage in your dream realm, and I promise you, you will not stay stagnant. Number 6, God does very significant things within dreams. For example, he established the Abraham covenant in a dream. Do you remember this? Genesis 15, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And God said to Abram, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, you remember that? In a dream, he made a covenant with Abram. In a dream. In a dream, he will give you a promise. It's real. It was real for Abraham. Did he walk it out? It became real, right? He gave you a promise. If you pay attention, he has promises to release just to you. Nobody knows it because it's just between you and him. He wants to give you a promise. Raise your hand if you want that promise. Raise both of them if you really want it. Robert's got some feet going on up over here. He wants to release his promises to you, and he releases them through dreams, and I have proof. Because I'm a paralegal. I got to have proof. I need proof. And that's my proof. God grants supernatural gifts through dreams. Because remember, we said dreams are real. We are really engaging in the spirit realm. We are lifted up outside of time, and we are operating in the heavenly, right? There is no time with God. As he walks with me, he's walking with my grandchildren. P.S. I don't have grandchildren. See? Time. No time. Right? God grants supernatural gifts through dreams. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon. You remember this? In Solomon, in a dream, by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. He asked, and what do you want? And what did Solomon say? I want wisdom, how to govern my people, right? And then, I love this, because if you ever read your Bible, it's like this much of a page, right? So you're reading in there this interaction between Solomon and God all through the thing. And do you know, it wasn't until years later that I realized that it actually says, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, and that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And Solomon awoke. Raise your hand if you knew he was dreaming. I missed it too, don't be ashamed. I missed it too. That was given to him in a dream. Did he really receive the promise? Did he receive the promise? It was given to him in a dream. Are you catching it? How many of you want to run home and go to sleep? But not in my class, right? I was training one time. I had flown in from Honduras, and I was training. And I was with Michael French out in Birmingham, Alabama. And we, as rookies, we get stuck. If you're a rookie teacher, you get stuck with the class that's right after lunch. And it's Lectio Divina. Has anyone taken John Paul Jackson's 101 course? Yeah, do you remember Lectio Divina? Well, it was right after lunch. It's the meditation, Lectio Divina. It's all about meditation. So they would always stick the rookie to teach it. And we'd ask John Paul, can we please just switch it around, please? Nope, character. You know, it's a good teacher. We'll keep a class awake. It's meditation, John Paul. They just ate Chinese food. Seriously? They're tired. But I was teaching. Well, afterwards, she was up teaching, and I was in the back, and I was going to sleep, and she called me out. And I stood up, and she goes, what do you, because they give you evaluations. I said, oh, no, absolutely not. I was practicing. Absolutely practicing. They didn't buy it. Gideon camp. Gideon walks down into the camp of the Midianites. We went over this. He heard the word. It brought strength and revelation to Gideon. Gideon then went up, got his whole army, and then what? Came down and waged a war, right? Could he have done that in his own strength? Where did he get the strength? Hearing the prophecy. Hearing the revelation. It was imparted into him. What's amazing is the dream was given to someone else, but it imparted into Gideon. Because it's spirit-to-spirit communication. It's just revelation. So I love hearing other people's dreams because I just snag them. I'll take that one too. Thank you. God, say that again. For which one? Oh, Gideon. What is the scripture for Gideon? No. Somebody look that up for me. Oh, yes. There was a scripture to Solomon, and that was 1 Kings 3, verse 5. So to summarize it, God has chosen to communicate with mankind through dreams. He longs to engage with his people. He guides and counsels us through our dreams. He establishes covenants and promises with us in our dreams. He grants us gifts in our dreams. He utilizes dreams from Genesis to Revelation. We dream how one third of our life, right? Right? Has anyone heard that, or is this new to you? Even the scientists will tell you. One third of our life. The Bible, dreams that encompass and actions taken, dreams, visions, and the actions thereof, actually accumulate one third of the Bible. Everybody go, isn't that neat? One third of the Bible. Five things you can do to help recall your dreams. You ready? Now then, here's the deal. If you are not dreaming, there are typically certain reasons why. Because we should be dreaming. Because why? God wants to connect with you, right? So we should. Everyone's in agreement? Number one thing you have to say before you go to bed tonight, if you're not dreaming, Lord, I repent for dismissing dreams. I repent for dismissing my dreams. I repent for not writing them down. Why do you need to write them down? Because the Lord says, write it down and a herald will run with it. Write it upon the doorpost. Write it upon your heart. Write it. You see it all, everywhere. There's even scientists will tell you that writing actually connects to the heart. And there's something, I tell my people all the time, no, you may not record it. No, you can't type it out. You must write it. There's something about writing that is spiritual. That is spiritual. You must write it. And if you have one of my nifty pens, you can write it in the dark without waking up your husband. Judges 7:13 for Gideon. I believe dreams contain a valid message. I repent, Lord, for any way I've dismissed dreams, and I ask you to speak to me, and I promise you from this day forward, I will pay attention and engage with you before you go to bed. Also, another back in 05, I would fly in from Honduras to teach, and I remember teaching at a conference in New Orleans. It was Charnel Wolverton at Swift Fire Ministries and Barbie Breathitt, and I remember needing to confess to them. Here I am, traveling internationally, teaching on dreams, And I just had never confessed it. And it got to a point where I could not stand up before another crowd. And I just wasn't dreaming. I wasn't dreaming. Here I am, traveling, teaching dreams, and I wasn't dreaming. And I was condemned. I felt guilty. I felt like a fraud, a hypocrite. So I went to them and confessed this, and they just started laughing. And you know what they said to me? They said, sometimes when you first come into dream ministry and you realize that this is a way God speaks to you, that oftentimes a pendulum will swing and you get so caught up in the dream message that you kind of will rely on it because it's really easy once you learn how to do the symbols, and you forget to study your word. And so what I was doing was I was listening to my dream language and practicing and doing all that, but I forgot just the pure word of God. And so what did he do? He pulled away from me. He pulled away. So I would search out and search out, but it wasn't until I confessed that then he began to engage with me again. And then I realized, gotta read the word. Gotta read the word. You may not depend solely on one way or this way. He speaks in many ways, and you must depend on all ways of the Holy Spirit, right? So if you're not dreaming, sometimes you can get so caught up that you forget to just the pure honey of the word. Repent. Don't lean on just dreams. One of the other ways we can help recall our dreams is ask God to speak to you through dreams. Oh, another one is sometimes you can have a dream way back and the Lord will stop speaking to you until you obey the last one. So sometimes if he pulls back, he's just wanting you to go back to that last thing he told you. Kind of like when you read scripture and you get a revelation. Can I tell you a little secret? I'm going to tell you a secret. I'm going to tell you a secret. All revelation will be tested. All revelation will be tested. When you're reading the word and you're meditating in the morning and you go, you have that aha moment of God. You know those? Aha. I got it. It will come to test it to see if it is truly founded. All revelation will be tested. And so if you have not walked through, how many of you have ever said, oh, I have prophetic words. I got to put on a shelf somewhere. How many of you have said that? I can guarantee you it's probably, yeah. We call it our prophetic word shelf. Yeah, until the Lord told me one day. Yeah, the reason why they're still up there is because you didn't obey the testing in it. I went, okay, let me go get those. The dream shelf, the prophetic word shelf, you know that stuff, you stuff over there. Because we have not been faithful to walk through the fire of that revelation. And so he pulls back in order for us to engage. Right? That can be another reason he pulls back from us and we're not dreaming anymore. Ask God to speak to you through dreams as you fall asleep. I always like to say prepare. Prepare a place. All of us are guilty of having the TV on before we go to sleep. Some of us are guilty for needing the television to go to sleep. My 17-year-old swears to me that he has to have the TV to go to sleep. But preparing a place, if you're not dreaming regularly, it is important for you to stop and prepare your place of meditation. I believe that we as people are not having open visions, translations, transportations. We are not reaching the heights of supernatural activity because we live in a McDonald's society and we're not willing to take the time for Lectio Divinia. We're not willing to take the time to meditate. We're all guilty of it. We live in a McDonald's society. We want it here and now. We don't have time. We don't have time. And neither does he. Because he'll move on to the next person. We must prepare a place for our translations. See, all the revelation they got when they were wandering around herding sheep, they had time. They took time. Why are we not experiencing these things we read in the Word? Because we're not preparing a place. We have to prepare a place. And that includes at nighttime. Because, see, we're inviting the Holy Spirit into our life. Put your journal beside your bed. and immediately record your dream upon waking up. This is so critical. I know it's so important. Until you get comfortable and where you understand dreams, and usually it takes about 5 years to really grasp dream interpretation. It takes a long time to really understand it. Put a dream journal down there and write those dreams down. It's spiritual. The word, it says, write it down and the herald will run with it. Write it down. It's important to write it down. You can also get a nifty pen like mine. Actually, you can get these from my friend Barbie at myonr.com. Myonr.com. No, don't. Have you ever recorded your dream at night and then went back and listened to it the next morning? Sounds like demonic almost. It's like that raspy voice. I just don't record it just because it sounds stupid. You get up in the next morning. Get 8 hours of sleep as the entire last night of dream time. I challenged my class one time to do this. Set your alarm clock before it's time to go to sleep. I mean, before it's time to wake up, maybe like 30 minutes before it's time to go to sleep. And what happens is your alarm clock will go off. So you'll kind of wake up, but leave it there. And what happens is you go back into sleep and you go into twilight. Twilight's where you really want to pay attention to your dreams. How many of you notice that some of your most powerful dreams are like when you take naps on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon?
Come on.
They're like God. Oh, and in your shower. Have you ever noticed that? What? It's like God just speaks in the shower. It's like, oh, I don't know. He's hiding somewhere in my shower. I swear it has everything to do with the water, but write it down, and also, you know, it's so very, very important to not only write it down, but try to work it out. I don't know if some of you may be those dreamers every night. Those are really hard to you know, because you're just constantly, I know Randa, she's a prophetic dreamer. She dreams all the time. It would drive me crazy. I remember one time telling the Lord, please stop. I just can't even keep up with you. And then I went like a whole year without dreaming. Never did that again. But put your alarm clock 30 minutes back so you can head into twilight. And you kind of are awake, but not. Those are the dreams you really want to pay attention to. And practice. I do not wake up by alarm clocks. I don't. Alarm clocks are my nemesis, especially when you are in a dream ministry. I call an alarm clock my eraser. It erases, you know, it's like the alarm clock goes off and you're trying to catch the dream. It's like your dream eraser, the alarm clock. So you know, it is true. In fact, John Paul used to make us do this. We were not allowed to use alarm clocks when we were on the road. We had to just get up. You had to train your body not to have alarm clocks. So you would train your body to sleep and be able to wake up when it was supposed to wake up. And it can be done. You don't have to have alarm clocks. I'm just letting you know.
Right.
7 foundational principles for interpreting dreams. We're almost done. Most dreams are symbolic. It's either symbolic or it's literal. There's only 2 options. Symbolic, literal. If it's literal, there's no grace for it. You must obey. If it's symbolic, you need to search a matter out. Okay? You cannot break dream rules. If all of it's symbolic, it has to remain symbolic. If I dream about my pastor and say my husband, in the dream, my husband can't mean my husband and then my pastor mean Jesus. It's talking about my covering. It's symbolic. It's either all symbolic or it's all literal, but you don't break dream rules. It's not both. Okay? Yes. Oh, that was the Holy Spirit. I cannot repeat that. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Symbolism, if a dream has any symbolism in it, pink flying cars, elephants running through your house. You with me? If it's symbolism, it's all symbolic, which means that if there's pink cars flying through your house or an elephant, then your pastor cannot be literal. It's symbolic. Was that better explained? Okay. You can also learn your symbolism by playing Pictionary. Pictionary is really good to help you with your symbolism. I want to stop here and kind of tell you a little bit about symbolism. Yeah, is that how you? You might. Oh, we so need to play. We'll pray for you to get saved later on tonight. We each have our own dream language. So don't be afraid when people come up to you. Well, how, you know, I know that if somebody's brought to me to interpret my and help them interpret their dream, I know they need, the Lord is bringing them to my dream language, right? My class will generally have my dream language. It will become their own, but it's their dream language. Your dream language is created by your economy, your community, your surroundings. See, I taught dreams in a third world country, so a yellow bus to us means education, transportation to education, mode of transportation with lots of people, usually indicates a teaching gift. If you keep getting on and off the bus, you're not walking in your gifting, stay on the bus. But if I go to Honduras in a third world country where the buses say Greenville High School from North Carolina, cheerleading squad from, and if I go to Honduras, see, they don't have buses that teach them, so teaching gift wouldn't even mean anything to them like that. It's just a mode of transportation. So your dream language has to do with your surroundings, what you learn, how you grew up. If you, you know, snakes don't always mean devil. Did you know that? They don't. But what if your grandparents were snake wranglers? So you would be fond of snakes. I had a snake growing. Oh, sorry about that, sound man. I had a snake growing up named Six. I needed to be saved. And I used to carry this thing around in a pillowcase. And so I was delivered. But I had this snake, and so snakes don't always mean, if you have pet snakes and you're raised around snakes, snakes don't always mean demonic. So do me a favor, don't put your dream language on somebody else. Ask the dreamer, well, when you say snake, what does that mean to you? If you, okay, riding a bus, what does that mean to you? So it's important to interview the dreamer. So when our team comes to do help interpret dreams, they're going to ask, well, what does that mean to you? Because you have your own dream language. And if people come to you and God brings them to you to work out a dream with them, it's because God wants them to. Perfect example, we were taught that blue means revelation, right? Well, my pastor in Baton Rouge always says communion. And we would have this argument all the time over blue and communion. The blue, revelation and communion. Until, because he's a pastor, he told me it was the same thing. Revelation, communion, you commune, it's revelation. Anyway, he saved the argument. But it's to him, if somebody comes to him with blue in their dream, that's because they need to hear that something about communion. If they come to me with blue in their dream, they're going to hear revelation, right? We each have our own dream language. Symbols will come from the dreamer's life, so always ask, what does the symbol mean to you? For example, Joseph was a shepherd, and he dreamed of sheaves, sun, moon, and stars bowing down. So if you dreamed that stars were bowing down, it would mean something completely to you than it did to Joseph, because Joseph spent his whole life laying down looking up at stars, right? That was part of his occupation, whereas stars would not mean that way to us. We would think it was demonic because it was astrology, probably. Which, did you know that I can show you in the Bible where all of the zodiac signs are? I digress. These images surround a shepherd boy who lives in the fields. Nebuchadnezzar, a king, dreamed of statues of gold. Remember Nebuchadnezzar and the statue, the bronze and the clay and stuff? He dreamed of statues, which surround kings who lived in palaces. So those were his dream languages. Now, if you went and asked Joseph what a statue meant, probably wasn't going to give you the same answer, was he? But Daniel, who was around that sort of thing because he was captured, right, and was raised up under Nebuchadnezzar, his language was different than Joseph would have been. So glad that Nebuchadnezzar asked Daniel and not Joseph. Two totally different dream languages and time frames. The dream generally speaks of concerns of your heart. So ask, what issues was I processing that day? What's the concern of your heart? For example, Paul was wandering around, wondering where his next missionary travels were, right? Then he went to bed and had a
dream.
Amazing, huh? Had a dream, and in the dream, a Macedonian man was waving him over. God was speaking. Nebuchadnezzar was thinking his kingdom would go on forever and ever in Daniel 4, until he had a dream of a big tree being chopped down out to the roots in Daniel 7. Right? He was had this thing upon his heart, this issue in his heart. 95% of dreams will be about your character issues. When you dream, it's called it, if you're actively involved in the dream, it's called an intrinsic dream. It means it's all about you, not the other person. If you are viewing a dream, who's had dreams where they're floating up and they're just watching it and you're not actively involved in the dream? That dream's about someone else, or your church, or your community, or your husband. It is about where you have influence and authority. I hope you catch me on that. We don't have dreams for people that we don't have influence with and authority with. Intercessors have dreams that are extrinsic because they're called to pray, not to speak. They're called to pray and not to speak. If you begin to speak and not pray, God will remove that from you because he will find you untrustworthy.
Well, that's good.
95% of dreams are about your character. It is about making the crooked path straight so that you may enter into the fullness of your destiny. 95% of dreams are about you. It's to get you from walking this way to walking this way. If you are not changing when interpreting your dreams, your way of behaving and acting and character issues in your heart. In fact, I tell my class all the time, always think of it this way. I always look to the negative of myself first. How does this dream reflect where I might have some character issues? I go there first. I allow the Lord to search this house for leavened bread. Right? Then if it searches and finds nothing, then I look at it from a positive aspect. Then if I still find nothing, then I look at it from an extrinsic aspect. Or my work, or my family, my children's life. Go ahead. That is not, if you are actively involved in the dream, it's about you.
I mean, if you did it from an intercessory standpoint.
Yeah.
It's to pray, not to speak.
It is, if you do not have authority or influence. Favor with God, favor with man. That's how you know you have influence. Favor with God, favor with man. Favor with God and favor with man open up doors of influence and authority. See, because I was asked to speak here, favor with man, favor with God, I now have influence. See, but a month ago, I did not have influence here. Favor with man, favor with God, opened up my influence. So now if I were to have a dream with you, I would take it before the pastor and then share it with you because I have influence here now. So God will open up influence. We have to stop being flaky prophetic people.
Come on.
Right?
Come on again.
Yeah. Please. We have to stop. There is a solid... ...ness to Christ. It is not... We have to operate within the influence and the authority in which we're given. When you operate outside of your influence, example, I was at a church and someone came up to me and said, hey, I noticed something that was going on with an intercessor. So I just brought it to the leadership's attention. And that person said, because they find that Robert and I do operate in some level of wisdom sometimes... Sometimes. And they said, well, can you deal with it? And I thought about it a minute. My flesh would say yes. Why? Because I was looking for authority. But my spirit said, nope, not going to do that. That's a test. Not about to step on that line. And I said, no, don't hand over your authority to me. You take care of it. But see, flesh would go look for opportunities. Spirit says, allow the doors to open. I'm not on leadership there, nor am I on staff. I had no business doing that. authority and influence. So to answer your question, it would be if you have influence and authority in that person, if you are over them work-wise, if you've ministered to them, if they've allowed you to speak into their life. If they have not allowed you to speak into their life, it's for intercessory prayer. We cannot run our mouths all the time, unless you have the microphone. The meaning of a dream must be drawn from the dreamer. Here's my favorite part. Symbols are little files. It's okay to memorize symbols. I go through this book right here, and Ira Milligan has a wonderful book too. This right here. It's a Bible imagery book. What? Y'all are not supernatural?
Very good book.
Wonderful book. It's got every symbol and image in the Bible you can shake a stick at. Right? Wonderful revelation. This is where I ask you to try to learn your symbols from. And the reason why is because I teach conferences and conferences and conferences. And here's what happens when I teach conferences. I come in, I teach a conference, and I leave diluted information. Because if you're not searching your symbols out yourself, all you're taking are my symbols, and it becomes diluted. There's no power in it. Search your own scripture. See, this is where we need our symbols from, which ultimately is this, just some smart person put it in one book, right? Our symbols come from here, not from other people. In fact, I started a long time ago, but I probably lost that page. I'm missing like half of Genesis. But I have that memorized. So you take the symbols, and so I started writing them in the back or in a journal or something, and you write symbols as you study the word and you write it out. You just write your symbols down. Write it, and those are your symbols. That's what the Holy Spirit's telling you, right? So symbols are files. And here's the issue with dream interpretation. I do not interpret dreams. You with me? I do not interpret dreams. Joseph said, "It is not I, but the Lord." The moment you think you interpret dreams is the moment that you have ruined that dream interpretation. There will not be any aha moment of God in that one. I am a liaison between the dreamer and the Father. See, I have the symbols within me, but it is He that pulls the symbols up and puts the dream together. And we both have that aha moment. And I walk away knowing it surely wasn't me. I can study and study and study all day long. I have files. I keep the files like a preacher does. I study. I had no idea what I was going to come up here and say. I rely on the Holy Spirit. So I can study my scripture and put scripture in as a pastor goes to seminary and puts scripture in. But when he steps up to preach, it's really the Holy Spirit that takes the file out and puts it together and delivers a message. I am a liaison between the dreamer and the Father, and so are you. We do not interpret dreams. You with me? It is not I, but the Father. Another point I want to make is to make sure that we understand that we do not let dreams steer our ship. Catch that one, because that's some dream language there for you. We do not let dreams steer our ship. If you are letting dreams guide your church, your family, it's called the revelatory continuum. And I do not make decisions based on a dream. I study dreams. I teach on dreams. Dreams happen all around me. Every day I'm talking about dreams. I'm probably 30 dreams behind right now on other people's dreams. Dreams, 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 dreams. I do not rely on dreams. I rely on a dream, confirmation in my word, confirmation through a situation, confirmation through a person, a trance, translation. A trance is when you have an open vision and you're kind of frozen and you have an open vision, trance. Translation is when you have a throne room experience. Transportation is when you're taken from here to there. Have you ever had a dream? My husband had a dream one time where he was in Chile ministering. So he has the dream, he's in Chile ministering. Do you remember that? You could wake up, and he said, if I woke up and I went to Chile, I would know exactly where everything was, because he was. He was in Chile. It is spirit-to-spirit communication. He operates outside of time. So, did you know that you could be delivered in a dream?
Come on now.
You can be delivered. I would much rather be delivered in a dream than in front of a church.
Come on.
Right? You can be delivered in a dream. Supernatural gifts can be given to you. Do you know when you dream you're going to the bathroom and you're trying to find a toilet somewhere? Raise your hand if you had that dream. Oh, I cannot believe y'all actually raised your hands. In fact, I had one last night. It's funny. Every time I go to speak, I always dream that I can't find my notes, or it just speaks of feeling unprepared. And so last night hadn't been a long time, but I had dreamed that I couldn't find a restroom to go to the bathroom in. And dreams really are, you are actually being delivered. You are, if you're going to the bathroom, you are releasing, how do I say this? Crap. Can I say that from the pulpit? Yeah, okay. Can I say that from your pulpit? You are releasing. Therefore, it has been released. That then you wake up as a new creation. The only problem is you probably didn't know you were being delivered, so you weren't walking in the power in which you were given. Yeah.
That's really good. Say that again.
See.
Make them get it. That's yeah. Good. That's good. Man.
So when and if you're being delivered, or if, you know, okay, how about this? Do not raise your hands when I ask you this question. How many of you had dreamed that you've had sex with your pastor or kissed your pastor? Or kissing your boss. Don't look at me like that, with that tone of face. I could see him spinning going, had I had that dream before? Sex dreams. I'm going to say it again. Sex dreams. People always come to me after conferences to talk to me about this one. Quietly. So I had a friend one time who had a dream. Right. A lot of times I would have, you should hear Robert and I, he wakes up and he's like, so I was making out with so-and-so on the worship team. Because it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean what it means to us. See, God is pure. He made sex to be holy alignment. See, we changed.
That's good.
Not him. God is the same yesterday, today, forever. Therefore, sex to him is still holy and it's still spiritual alignment. Sex to us has become impure, and we have made it dirty just by the fact that most people can't even ask me about a sex dream, and they'll hide it. And you know what it means? It just means coming into spiritual alignment. If you're having sex with your pastor in a dream, I'm going to tell you, amen, sister, because you should be. When I worked for John Paul, I had dreams all the time. We were hugging, kissing, all kinds of stuff, because I worked for him. Therefore, I was coming into spiritual alignment with him. God doesn't view sex the way we do. And so when we kiss in a dream, we're being imparted. So when you're kissing someone, you ask, what does that person mean? Robert had a dream. He was kissing someone, and her name meant purity. We looked up the name, because it wasn't about the person. It was about the name. Kissing, impartation, sex, spiritual alignment. You with me? Hugging, another form of impartation, but not as intimate as kissing. So now when you have a dream about having sex with your pastor, go roll over and tell your husband. Not really.
Yeah.
Not unless you've gone through marriage counseling. Or you'll probably need it after that. No. So does everyone, are you with me on that? Sex dreams are not bad. We can talk about them.
Yeah.
Right? Kissing dreams, hugging, they're all just impartation. Think about the dominant aspect of what that person means to you. If it's your boss, it could be good or bad. If you feel dirty when you wake up, it could be an impartation of something that's not good. Just like the Holy Spirit can impart something into you in the spiritual, so can the enemy. So just like you can be given spiritual gifts and promises from God, the enemy can impart also. It's called an incubus or a succubus spirit that comes to impart in you. And it usually comes through sex dreams. So if you're having sex dreams and you feel dirty when you woke up. Not soul interjection. Soul interjection in a dream is, I should not be having sex with my pastor. That was awkward. That's soul interjection. Feeling vile or dirty is demonic impartation. And usually it doesn't come with your pastor. It's usually a faceless entity. And it comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Right.
Okay, so a couple few years back.
Is this a sex dream?
Yeah, well, it really was, and the deal was, but in this particular pastor that I was having a dream about, there was a real check in my spirit of what the issue was. And it ended up being he was having a,
an
adulterous affair. So there is the aspect that God gives you warning dreams, not just, right?
Absolutely.
Can you clarify on some of that?
Yeah, absolutely. If you are feeling, especially if you're having, in the natural, I have a check with my boss. You're having a check with your boss and you're wrestling because you don't understand, because you know you're supposed to be in unity, you don't quite understand, or your spouse. I always tell people, I always tell my children, the Holy Spirit will always tell on you. I keep my husband in check because I know dreams. I got your number. So when we in the natural are not connecting with someone like we should be, and we go to sleep and we have a dream, it can reveal the motives of the heart. Example, Abimelech. Abimelech, the king Abimelech, Abram and Sarah came and he said what? He said, go tell her I am her, go tell him you're my sister. It's a half-truth. But it worked for him before, so I didn't think there was a problem. So he tried it again. Only what happened? God gave Abimelech, a non-believer, and exposed the heart of a believer. Watch out. Watch out. He gave the dream to a non-believer and exposed the heart of a believer. God speaks to the just and unjust alike. Watch your motives. And so what happens is that that's proof that God reveals the heart of those you're in community with. He will reveal. So if you are not having a if you're having a check with your pastor and not real sure. Now, if you're in unity with your pastor and there are some or your boss and there are some great aspects that you really love about that person, and you end up engaging in a touch or a kiss or an embrace, it's an impartation of that character in which you desire in that person. Not that you desire the person. See what I'm saying? If there's a disconnect and then you feel dirty or confused, then if you feel confused, it's God's revealing something, or like a light went off. And sometimes you won't even get it until after the matter. So probably you didn't get that until after you found out it was in an affair, and then it came to you and went, oh yeah, I remember that. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes you wake up from the dream and you go, I got it, because you understand your dreams. So when you begin to understand your dreams and you have questions about someone's motive, God will reveal it, and you'll wake up and you'll totally get what's going on behind their dream, behind their motives, right? And then if you have the embrace or the kiss or the sex part and you feel dirty or vile and it's a faceless entity, or it's somebody that you know that you don't like, it is a violation. God's saying they're violating you. Here's the deal. God uses extreme measures in dreams. He goes way out there. So when he uses sex to say spiritual alignment or this, how many of you believe that God gives nightmares? That's because you've taken my class before. Didn't we just read that terrifying horror came over him? God is a terrifying God. He uses terror. How many of you believe he uses terror to scare you? Hell?
Yeah.
Scared me? That scared me. He uses terror to scare you. He is a terrifying God. What is horror to us is not horror to him. He will terrify you in order to make a point, just like he did with hell. It made it point very clear with me, right? So he will do that in dreams. He will use nightmares. Now, if faces are being distorted in dreams, it's usually demonic. If it's just scary, you're being chased by a monster. Someone here told me something about being chased by a giant. And then said it was him. Was that you? Was that your dream? You were being chased by a giant. Were you scared in the dream? Afraid. Hills. She was trying to hide behind hills. And later on, he gave her the revelation that was him chasing her. So he will use things to make a point. His greatness, his majesticness, the terrifying nature of God.
What about if you don't see him, but you feel the presence? You don't see anything, but it's the presence that's there.
Yeah, that's an impartation. Or it's an impartation in the negative, which means that you need to be delivered. No, just kidding. Probably, though. No. Yes?
What if your phrase are same sex? Yeah, sex.
Same sex, sex, yeah. That often. Sorry. My cattle call tells me to come back over here. Same sex, it depends on if who the person is. If it is somebody, again, if it's somebody that you admire or you're close to, again, it's just coming into spiritual alignment. If you feel violated, it probably means that person is doing something to violate you in the natural somehow, stealing from you, gossiping, backstabbing, a violation of any kind. So he uses sex both in the positive and the negative sense. I think that's everything on this. And I went through all of that without even looking. Now, I have... Are those things done, do you know?
No.
No. Wow.
I will address that.
Okay. Oh. Yes.
The one where you feel like you're, like, running, wake up.
Yes. Reoccurring... Thank you. Reoccurring dreams. We all had them as children, right? When you do prophetic evangelism in the streets, you will always get the top 20 reoccurring dreams. Teeth falling out, being naked in school, unable to take tests, being naked, running and can't get away. You're running and running. My reoccurring dream as a child was that I was constantly running, and it was like I was running through molasses, and I couldn't get away, but they weren't catching me, but I just like I couldn't get away. In my life, I deal with striving. I deal with self-propelling or to strive in my own strength. It's something that I really have to watch out for. Reoccurring dreams are the one thing that you deal with, and until you conquer it, you will have that reoccurring dream. It's to tell you, hey, this is an issue. Pay attention to your children's reoccurring dreams. When you pay attention to your children's reoccurring dreams, you find out what the one thing that that thorn in your flesh is going to be. Whether it's teeth falling out, not using wisdom in certain situations, testing, you're always unprepared for a test. You feel like you're always unprepared, self-esteem issues, going to the bathroom, again, need for deliverance. There's about 20 of them. I'll bring them next month. But there's 20 of them, and they're reoccurring dreams. And reoccurring dreams happen because God is trying to make a point. And this is a struggle that generally you always deal with. And until you've conquered it, and that's why reoccurring dreams will kind of come back up or they'll change on you. But reoccurring dreams are, he's trying to drive home a point. There's something you need to overcome in your life in order to get to that next place. I want to talk about 20 categories of dreams. We have 20 categories of dreams. Healing dreams. Dreams that heal broken relationships. Dreams that heal your opinion of others, changing your heart on a situation. Those are healing dreams. It also leads to forgiveness with someone. It exposes motives, good or bad. Those are healing dreams. Body healing, you can have healing. You can actually be healed in your body by just having a dream. You can be healed in your body by having a dream. So when you're healed, or you're I had a friend who had diabetes and couldn't walk. He continued to have dreams that he was whole, completely whole. The Lord was imparting hope because he was going to heal him. And so when he would tell me these dreams, or I have a good friend of mine now who has cancer, and I had dreams of him having full head of hair. And so I know right now that God's going to heal him. He's still going through chemo. He almost died 3 days ago, last week. No hair, as sick as could be. But I know that God's going to heal him because he's already shown me a dream with a full head of hair. And so God will give you, people who are sick, dreams of their wholeness in order to impart hope to walk that out. All right? Fleshing dreams. These are dreams that you're going to the bathroom and they're fleshing things out of you. They're cleansing the eye gate, the ear gates, cleansing dreams. Calling dreams. I had a dream before I got hired on with John Paul. And in the dream, short version, in the dream, this white-haired man with a beard stood up on the platform and he had a white notebook Amazing. Had a white notebook open, and he called me up and said, you will travel the world teaching the prophetic word of God. And it entered into me, the word, and I bent over, and I remember thinking to myself, stand up or everyone's going to think you have a demon. This is in my dream. And so I just remember I couldn't stand up, and then he said, my elder is going to come out and give you the rest of the word. And Samuel L. Jackson came out. Samuel, School of Prophets, Jackson, John Paul Jackson. So Samuel L. Jackson came out and just stood there, but I couldn't get up because I was worried about, I thought people were going to think I had a demon inside of me. It wasn't until during my stripping season, because see, that's a calling dream. Joseph was giving a calling dream, and then his whole life fell apart and looked completely opposite, and so did mine. But what I didn't realize until later on was that what God was trying to get out of me is what man thought of me. Calling dreams. When people tell me they have calling dreams, I just go, yeah, ooh, that's going to hurt. Call me when you're done with that one. I did learn a secret, though. The quicker you lay down, the quicker it comes, it gets over with. John Paul always said, don't be the blade of grass standing up when the lawnmower of God rolls over you. I just learned just to lay down. I've learned just lay down. It goes a lot quicker instead of the 3 years that it took me. Warning dreams. This warns the dreamer not to do certain things. Oftentimes we have a lot of warning dreams. False dreams. Dreams that the enemy provokes. Zechariah 10:2, for the idols speak delusion, the diviners envision lies and tell false dreams. Those are called false dreams. False dreams are things that do not line up with Scripture. Our Scripture is the plumb line for dreams. If it doesn't line up with Scripture, it is not. I cannot tell you how many people I have counseled that had dreams that they were to marry the pastor. Only the pastor was married, but convinced that they were the woman for him and that he was married to the wrong person. I can tell you right now that that dream wasn't scriptural, right? Therefore, it was a false dream and usually inhabits a Jezebel spirit. False dreams are those that do not line up with scripture. Or oftentimes people will tell you dreams, especially on the street. I get this a lot when we do dream booths. They'll tell you a dream, and you know you just can't catch the interpretation. It's generally because it was a false dream. They just gave it to you for influence, authority, need for attention, that kind of thing. Body dreams. These come as a result of sickness. Also, if you've ever dreamed that you need to go to the bathroom and you wake up and you need to go to the bathroom, those are body dreams. Or you're cold and in your dream you're running around looking for a blanket. It's because your husband stole the blanket off of you. Body dreams. But those are still meaningful. Not feeling uncovered. You're dreaming that you're cold. You're searching for a blanket. You wake up. That's what I'm talking about. The natural manifesting the supernatural. And he takes the... Now, I'm not saying that every time your husband steals the blanket that you're uncovered spiritually. I'm saying that if you're dreaming this and you wake up and it's uncovered, pay attention and check where your motives are. Check where your heart is. Do you feel uncovered? Is there something you need to pray through? Pay attention to your dreams. If you're dreaming that you need to go to the bathroom and you wake up and you really do get up to go to the restroom and you come back and keep dreaming the same dream, that's generally because there's a flushing that needs to happen and God's waking you up to it. If you dream that you have a dream and then all of a sudden you hear someone knocking on the door and you realize someone's knocking, or you're woken up by a telephone ringing, it comes right when you're having your calling dream. It's God saying, I'm calling you to pay attention. Somebody calls you and you wake up. Things that happen in the natural correlate with things that are going on in the spirit realm. Pay attention to what's going on in your natural if it's not something that's ordinary. Chemical dreams, those are dreams induced by pizza? No. Those are induced by drugs and alcohol, any type of medications. Number one medication that will keep you from dreaming, absolute number one, any serotonin drugs. Zoloft, Prozac, Wellbutrin, any of that. I have a guy in my class who is a sleep research person, so I get to ask him all kinds of really good questions. And if you are on any of those, I suggest, okay, maybe I'm not going to suggest that. I would say to myself to go to a more natural program for me and myself. I'm not giving you doctor advice. Because it will help go back to your dream life. Any serotonin that messes with your serotonin will just, you'll stop dreaming. Drugs are by prescription, non-prescription, even herbs. Not those kind of herbs, because those make you dream a lot. Those are called false dreams.
Yeah, very false.
Self-conditioned dreams, these tell you where you stand with God. I also call them self-revelation dreams, self-realization. They really are revealing the nature of your heart. Courage dreams, these are like the dream that Gideon had, or Jacob when he received the dream that he chose the spotted and the speckled, and he did so, God would bless him. He needed courage to do this because it went against his theology and understanding of animal husbandry. Remember, he was told to get the spotted and the speckled, but those are the ones that at the altar that they would not ask for. And then every time they birthed him, they would all be spotted and speckled. It went against his theology and his understanding. So he had to have the dream in order for it to have the courage to do it, to do what God was telling him to do. Courage dreams. Gideon was given courage in order to move forward. Correction dreams. Dreams that deal with attitudes and opinions. I think all my dreams are correction dreams. Correcting my motive and my heart. Do you believe your opinions can be changed in a dream or vision? Remember Peter in Acts 10?
Yeah.
Direction dreams. Matthew 2:13. Joseph was told to go home a different way than he had planned. God was giving him strategy and direction. Strategy and direction. When you're writing down your dreams and you wake up, I want you to take that list I just gave you, and I want you to say, what does this dream have to do with? Is it correction? Is it encouragement? Because intercession dreams, they're given to cause us to pray for someone else or some situation. You wake up with a deep sense of urgency that's immediate for the moment. Usually if you're having a dream about somebody, you'll be woken up. It's a good time to pray and not go back to sleep. Prophecy and revelation dreams, basically they'll reveal things of the future. Dark dreams, dreams that are void of color. If it's in black and white, it is not from God. God is all about color. God is color. So if it's in black and white, you're not having a God-given dream. It's the enemy is trying to infuse. Enemy can't create color. So if it's in color, God's trying to get you to pay attention. God exists all color and light, but in darkness there is no color. Spiritual warfare dreams, warring dreams that are attacks against others, us or others. They will usually involve some sort of life or death situation. I just want to let you know, if someone dies in a dream, that's usually a good thing. That just went against everyone's theology. If you die in a dream, that is a good thing. Now, I say that, and I'm going to say that's 80% of the time true. If you die in a dream, you are coming to the end of one thing and beginning another. Or something in you is coming to the end. If you dream that somebody else has died, it's most likely not that there. I had one of my best friends, my business partner, had three dreams. Three different people had dreams they attended her funeral. Three different people within 2 weeks had dreams that they attended her funeral or were writing her obituary. So, of course, she calls me freaking out. And I will tell you, I was a little bit nervous because I had yet to have this one happen. So I was like, oh, please, Jesus, let me be right. I was a little bit nervous because this was three dreams and it was other people. But when praying through it, the Holy Spirit told me that it was what was coming to an end was all three of these people were extremely dependent on her. And God was about to shake that and cut it, and it was coming to death. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened within 4 months, is that each person, one got moved away, the other one, they ended up breaking relationship. It was just literally God was cutting it. Thank God I interpreted that one right. Because I got off the phone, I was like, surely she's not going to die, right, Lord? Because at Streams, we did have one person where she had a dream her daughter died in an accident. And she went to John Paul and asked what the dream meant. And everyone at Streams told her, oh, it's the death of one thing, the beginning of a new thing. And 2 weeks later, she died in a car accident. So with that said, I always say 80% of the time, but here, I'll tell you how to fix that one. Think of it as though something's coming to an end and pray for the beginning of a new thing and then pray protection over that person. And then you've covered all your bases. See, I'm a good dream interpreter. I figured it out. Fear dreams, dreams that open up to us, dreams about things that we fear or fear that will happen to us. A lot of times God wants to reveal fear in us because fear is the opposite of love. We cannot operate in love if we are operating in fear. We can't operate in faith. Faith is the exact same thing as fear, only it operates in two different directions. Right? With me on that one? Yes. Yes. Yes, thank you. That's good. If it's a dim dream and you're not picking up color, because sometimes you can have dreams and just not pick up color. I'm talking black and white, like movie clips. Sometimes you can have dim dreams, and that's just talking about God's, they're usually warning dreams, because it's God is revealing some darkness in an area. Oftentimes you'll dream that you are... it's at nighttime, you're skiing, but it's at night. You know, you're operating and trying to operate in the spiritual darkness. Spiritual, water, skiing, supernatural, dark, supernatural darkness. Yep, that was good. But only I thought that. What we focus on, we make room for. Invention dreams. So I was talking to this guy on this phone. And he used to work for the CIA. Don't worry, I did investigate him and found out his story is true. He works for the CIA, and he was killed in Russia. They were writing a book about him. He was dead for 30 minutes. They even did the bag and stuff, and he ended up coming back alive in the morgue. And since then, every time he goes to sleep, and if he has a dream, it's only an invention dream, and he's a multimillionaire. God's given him inventions for all kinds of things, lots of mission field work. He's totally radically saved now. He was not, killed lots of people, worked for the CIA, mercenary. Now he's a missionary. But he has every time he goes to sleep, and if he has a dream, it's always invention dreams. Did you know that Guinness beer formula was given to him in a dream? I fully support that ministry. There's a beer from Franzenskanz. It's made by the monks up in a... We support that ministry too. It's weird. Also, the sewing machine was in a dream. Invention dreams. God is going to give you a dream. If this were a dream, what would it mean? We're going places. Invention dreams. God will give you, if you pray and ask the Lord, and especially invention dreams, especially if you work somewhere, and God is... See, you have to be influential in order to influence. And God will give you the answer to something that your boss is lacking in order to expand your influence. You see what I'm saying? He's not going to give you influence because he likes you, because God is a God who's a just God. He's fair and balanced in all of his ways. He cannot promote you because he likes you. You have to suffer injustice in order to get justice. Right? Jesus had to suffer the injustice in order to be raised up to be the king of a new Jerusalem. Jesus didn't even escape the injustice. We cannot be given justice without injustice. That's why we go through the trial and the testing of the word and the revelation that we are giving. Because he can't just hand Joseph over all 11 brothers are going to bow down to him. God had a completely different view in mind. He was talking about a whole nation bowing down. Joseph, in his little bitty shepherd's mind, could only think of his brothers bowing down to him. But he had to suffer the injustice of being lied upon about Potiphar's wife, of sexual immorality. He had to be accused and betrayed by his brothers. Find it not funny that the people closest to you in church are there to betray you. It's scriptural. Because it's got to count.
That's right.
See, it wouldn't count if it was the people across the street, because it doesn't matter.
That's right.
But if you betray me, it's going to hurt.
That's right.
And I have to suffer the injustice. When we recognize that God causes us to have injustice, when our brothers betray us, when we realize that it's scriptural, we'll take a whole different view on mind. We'll stop looking at the person and we'll start looking at ourselves and thanking God because he has found us worthy to be betrayed. Justice. He had to suffer injustice in order to be given a whole nation and dreams that changed nations. When we recognize what God's trying to do with injustice, it will change our view and we will gladly say, I will lay down. I will lay down my right to be right. I will lay down my thoughts, my opinions. I will lay down. Because I want to get to that place. See, it took, Joseph was 17 when he had that dream. He was then 30 when he went in, right? Jesus was how old? 30? Died when he was 33. Joseph was released 3 years later. Joseph, type and shadow of Jesus Christ. He went into the pit for 3 years. Jesus, 3 days. Joseph was down there with the winemaker and the bread, wine cupbearer and bread maker, wine and bread, communion, symbols. Deliverance dreams literally removes demonization and spiritual attacks from our lives. I would much rather that happen in a dream. Those are good. We had a dream one time where there was a big snake. It was a big, big snake, and an angel came and cut off the tail of the snake. It was, that's what was really happening in the spirit realm. I didn't have to cut off the tail of the snake. An angel was going. Angel came and did it for me. Word of knowledge dreams, they bring solution and answers to problems and issues in your life today. Soul dreams, these are our personal desires being dreamed. We can actually cause, we can want something so desperately and believe it's right that we'll cause ourselves to dream the dream. It's so powerful, spirit-to-spirit communication is so powerful that a prophetic person can stand up here and you can actually, just the desire, you can extend your spirit and cause him to speak a false prophetic word just because of your desire. We have to remain in check. We have to remain that our desire is his desire for our life. That's why we see a lot of ministers will pray marriage, babies, stuff like that over people. It can be true, but sometimes our desire to see that will pull in the spirit realm instead of laying it at the altar. Oh, I pray that he speaks over me about my husband. Instead of laying it at the altar and say, what do you want to speak to me, Father? What is it that you're trying to tell me for this season of my life? Lay down, when we go to see a prophetic person, lay down your desire, lay it at the altar, ask the Lord to cover you with the blood. Cover your mind, your heart, your motives, and your intentions so that he can give you a true and correct word for the season of your life that will rightly divide. Yes. Well, you're married, so you're one. Yeah, you're married, so it was really for you, but for him. But it was for him, but it was really for you too. Yeah. Well, you're one. And so we will often dream. Has any one of you married couples dream the same dream as your wife or spouse? No? Let me talk about levels of dreams real quick. First level of dream, you dream. Second level of dream and you recognize you're dreaming. Raise your hand if you just dream. First level, just dream. Go ahead, raise your hand. We all, okay, dream. Second level, you dream, and then you recognize you're dreaming while you're in the dream. Raise your hand. That's second level dreaming. Third level dreaming, you dream that you're in the dream, you know you're in the dream, and then you're operating and changing things. Like you're operating in the dream, but you're viewing the dream, but you can change things. It's called lucid dreaming. You can, that's where you can enter in and change the ends of dreams. The ending, friend of Barbie's, driving along, kid, she, in her dream, her child is in the car. A car slams into the driver's side. She wakes up. She starts crying over the dream. The Lord tells her to go back into the dream. You know, when you wake up, go to the bathroom, come back, and you can go back into the dream. She goes back to sleep instead of getting up and frantically walking and pacing the house, because you and I both know that's what we would do. Instead, she enters back into the dream, changes the dream to where now her daughter is sitting in the backside of the car. And what happened was an hour later, police officer knocked at her door. Her daughter was in a car accident, but it hit the other side of the door and she was completely safe. That's how powerful our dreams are. You do not operate in lucid dreaming because you didn't know you could do it. Guess what? Now you know you can do it. So you're going to operate in a whole nother dimension. See, if your heart doesn't know you can do it, then it just is. But now it's open because you recognize that. Raise your hand if you lucid dream. You can operate inside your dreams and change things around. It's called lucid dreaming. You see? You can do it. Operate. Next level of dream is you go in there, and this is very fun. It's only happened a few times in my life. I dream the whole dream, and then I go back through the dream with the Lord. And he begins to point out symbols and telling me what they mean. So he interprets the dream. Raise your hand if you've done that. Mark?
Yep.
Yeah. Those are fun. Just his presence. Now, what really messes you up, because I teach dream symbols, is when he tells you the dream symbols and they are so not what you would have taught. And it totally throws you. You're like, really? What is that? Totally messes your dynamics up. But the Lord will walk through the dream with you and he will begin to interpret the dream with you. And you'll go through it a second time. Or last night I was dreaming that I couldn't find my papers and my notes and stuff. So I was dreaming being unprepared. But in the dream I recognized I was unprepared and I began praying in the dream. So you're handling the situation in the dream realm. So when I got up, I just was, because I knew I handled it. Another level of dream, angelic encounters. Raise your hand. Angelic encounters. Another level of dream. Just so you know, if you are dreaming of nameless, faceless people, those are angelic encounters. Someone's driving your car, you're in the back seat, they're faceless and you don't know who they are. That is an angelic encounter. Anyone who has, so generally we all have had angelic encounters, okay? They're just faceless people, or demonic encounters, and it's a demonic, faceless person. And another level of angelic encounter is that the angel comes to you and asks you a question. Is that generally how it happens? They'll ask you a question. And usually it is, are you ready? And at that point in time, has anyone ever experienced the levitating over the bed? Yeah. Levitating over the bed. You'll levitate over the bed. And then you will kind of move off to one side, or else you'll just go back and it'll be years before that experience ever happens because you operate in fear, or you'd say no. Angelic encounter, that is, I know I'm getting a little bit heavy here, but as you can see, people are experiencing it. Just, it only gets less and less because you didn't know you could operate that way. An angel will come in, ask you if you're ready to leave, and then you'll have what's called a translation, which is a throne room experience. You're in heaven, usually comes with a lot of terror. Typically don't want to be there. You're scared, fear, everything hits you. It's like all-encompassing emotions all at one time. Or you have a transportation where the angel takes you to another location, shows you something, and brings you back. Different levels of... And so when you go home tonight, if you've operated in dream level and you've operated in lucid dreaming, let's go to the next step. Father, would you take me? Would you allow me to engage in the angelic realm? I'm ready. My heart's open. I repent for dismissing any of your engagement, for not taking seriously. And it probably won't happen that night, although it may. Usually takes a while. And what happens is God will come in and test this revelation you've been given tonight. He'll test it. Either it'll be pulled away from you, or you'll be flooded with dreams. You'll have scary dreams. Comes to test the revelation. Do we have time for just a few dreams? One dream. Yes. When you read scripture, I'll just take it from a basic point. When you read scripture and you ever have the aha moment that I've got it, it's like the word, you can read the word behind the word. Like you understand. It's the revelation of God. typically when, say, let's take a mustard seed of faith story, and you've gotten it. You've got a whole new level on the seed, the mustard seed, and you understand it, this little thing, this of faith, this little bitty thing. And then you put it down, and you've got it, and you pray through it, and then you go about your day, and you walk through, and then you're hit with things that will cause you to have faith. Your husband loses his job. Your kid gets kicked out of school. Something comes to put that faith message to the test, and you have to walk by it by fire, trial. It's got to know that it's in you, and that it's solid and it's firm on a firm foundation. And so you'll be tested. I was given a prophetic word, and since then it's been chaos in my family. But I understand. I have an understanding now that I know that as my life is unraveling here, it's raveling up here, but in a better way. And so I have an understanding. And so now I walk with God with an understanding. I'm not mad at him because I understand that in order to give you justice, you have to be served in justice. So that word has to be tested in you. Does everyone understand that? For those who want to stay, y'all want to do a dream real quick? Okay. Someone has a short dream, not an epic dream. You want to do yours? Okay. We have this size board. My team is used to big boards, but so we're gonna do. Would someone come up and script it? Thank you, Patty. Patty's gonna script it. And what you're gonna do is you're gonna stand up and you're gonna repeat the dream. And we're gonna ask you some questions.
And I spell weird, so okay.
Or doesn't spell at all. No. If you were to title this dream, what would you title the dream?
The Holocaust.
The Holocaust. The reason I ask that question is oftentimes the key to unlocking that dream will be in the title that the dreamer titles it. The key to unlock it. The weight of the dream will be in that title. So always title your dreams. So the key is going to be right there, Holocaust. When you woke up from the dream, how did you feel?
Scared.
Scared. So we know that this is a terrifying dream. We're not 100% sure at this point if it's a God dream or a demonic dream. All right, go ahead with the dream.
Well, it was, it like took place at my school. And so all the classrooms were the same except for one classroom that was like a big grass field, like downhill, though. It was a huge hill. And it was weird. Like, there were some of the original teachers, but then there was different ones that I'd never seen before. And they were Jewish and was kind of a little bit different from the Holocaust,
Jewish.
I guess.
Hold on one second.
Okay.
Jewish. The teachers were Jewish?
Mm-hmm.
Do you go to a Jewish school?
Mm.
No. Okay.
Well, and, like, I have some Christian teachers at my school, and, like, we, I guess, since it was scary, we were all crying because we were forced to be Jews, I guess. And then...
You know, that's not such a bad thing.
And,
forced to be Jew.
And
some... It could be a wordplay. Forced to be you.
Some of my friends were getting killed because they were saying, no, I want to be a Christian. And I guess we got locked in our rooms and for a while, and then, like, I guess Nazis kind of came in.
I'm sorry.
Get locked in a room.
In the classroom that you were in?
In the grass field classroom, it was kind of different.
Okay.
And then it was like a tax day. If you don't know what that is, it's a big...
Oh, I know what that is. I have 8 children.
Okay. And
I know what tax is.
So, like, they changed it, and it was, I guess, it was this weird book or something. I've never heard of it. It was just like this Jewish book or something that we had to, like...
Could have been a Torah?
I can't remember.
Some Jewish book.
And we had to memorize it, and then, like people were being killed because some of them couldn't remember memorize lines and stuff.
I think Kyle's got it. You better come up with it. One of us better. I think I got it.
That's kind of all I can remember about
okay, good.
The dream.
What Patty did was she put in the core, in the center, was a school. She operates in a school on a general basis, so this is just normal day operation. If you and I were in a school, it would mean what? It would mean that a place of learning, higher education. If we're in a university or a high school, it would speak of higher education, which are things in the spirit. But since she operates in a school on a normal basis, this is something have to do with her right now in this season of her life. If she were in her childhood home, more childhood home, it would mean that there was something. If you dream of your childhood home, it typically is something that happened to you during that season of your life that either motivates you and drives you for the good or the negative. If you had an alcoholic father or an abusive mother, it's something that God is saying we need to deal with in order to get you to the next level, usually a childhood home. She's now dealing with her school. She operates in the school. Therefore, this is about her life right now. All right, Patty, you want to work this one out, y'all? You know I brought you here for a reason.
Yeah.
Holocaust. Okay, she's in a classroom, grassy hill. Grass is always good in a dream. It generally speaks of life. Grass speaks of life. So she's in a place that has life. It's not locked. Her teachers are now Jewish. There were some Jewish teachers, not all.
Not the familiar ones, that just the like random ones I've never seen.
Random Jewish people. You ready?
Did I understand correctly that
it
was not?
Right.
Yes.
You got it. I saw it on your face. Patty, you want to do it?
No.
Yeah, you got it. Go ahead and do it. Training. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring revelation to this dream. Lord, I ask for revelation and wisdom in order to bring it to fruition. Spirit-to-spirit communication. Be released, Holy Spirit. Speak to us. You got it? Yeah, you got it. I know you got it.
I'm still learning, so forgive me if I'm not right.
You do. Don't. You're going to love me next Tuesday.
Okay. I think that in your place of learning, obviously the Lord is really heavy on you right now, and he's presenting you a comfortable place to be in this trial in your time. And this trial is to, what I got was that it, you're going to have to fit in this cookie cutter mold. That's what I got. And that the people that you surround yourself with are going to be tested. Some are going to fall into that mold, and then the ones remaining are obviously going to be killed for it. I saw it being a martyr because you're standing for what you believe in, even though it's death all around you. And they're just going to be trying to influence you in every single way. They're going to lock you in a room. They're going to torment you, but you're not going to budge. I think of it more of as an encouragement dream to stay strong.
Yes. Good. Where she got the testing is tax is a great state taxing test. It's the biggest test. You either got to pass it or you're in trouble. And so she got that testing. One thing I want to add to it is that Jewish. Why Jewish? The thing to ask in a dream is why this and not that? Why not Lutheran? Why Jewish? Why not atheist? Why Jewish? Well, Jewish, asking you, what does Jewish mean to you?
I guess a different religion that once was.
Okay. But now is not. Do you see the Jewish as a religion? Acts of religion, that's what I thought. Okay, who else picked that up? That Jewish is that, yeah, it's religion. It's a spirit of religion that you're going to be tested by. But you operate in truth and freedom. But it comes to lock you in. Religion comes to lock you in. But you're being tested. The thing that concerns me is that there's no ending, really, to this dream. Do you remember being released? Okay, this is most likely, if she hasn't been released from the dream, or in the dream she doesn't find another way out, it means that this is probably happening right now to her, that you feel like you're being tested by religion. What is religion and what is true freedom in you? And it could be that you're also maybe testing the boundaries of freedom, too, and you're just kind of testing those boundaries to see what is, you know, some liberalities that maybe your parents don't have, and maybe your parents are trying to trap you into a belief system or a religion that you're just trying to test the boundaries out right now. Does that make sense to you? Does that bear witness with you? Absolutely, and not be trapped in religion. And those that are around you that are trapped in religion, see, what you had was the ability to see who was Christian and who was not. So there's a gift of discernment in there, too, that you're walking in. God wants to impart discernment into you, that you're able to see behind the veil. And that's what you were able to see. You were able to see who is and who isn't. Right? I like that. That's good. Do you like that? Did that feel good? It does. You want to do another one real quick? No?
I know these ladies, they all have this big test tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so these precious ladies, we appreciate y'all coming. They have their big test tomorrow. Bless you guys. Got it awesome. And we're going to have her back in 4 weeks.
Yes, and then we'll all only do dreams.
And not only that, we may have her back in July, June, July, and everything. We just wanted to see how well she'd do tonight. I think she passed the test.
I get invited back next time.
She gets invited back. But anyway, I just want to close a couple of things. One of the things that I look for is impartation. We don't want just a bunch of information, but we want impartation. That's the reason we do the School of the Spirit through the other times and School of the Prophetic, because we need impartation from the Holy Spirit. A couple of things that she said that I want us to do, and we're going to close quickly because I know some of you have kids that you have to get home for school. When she talked about, you know, how intercessors have long dreams. When I talk to Roxanne Bushocker, who I've shared many, many times, she is my spiritual mom. She'll tell me how a dream lasted for 4 or 5 hours. I am much more prophetic, and my dreams are short. And even how we interact and how we talk and we compare things based off of that is always a very, very key. So in that, I wanted her to come pray, because I believe some of you are intercessors and your dreams are very long, and God wants to start giving you the language to all of that. And then I'm going to ask sweet Amy to come pray of the way that she dreams and the impartation from a prophetic deal and all those different things. So I really believe there's going to be activation in these just simple prayers. And usually Roxanne prays for about an hour, so you're liable to be here for a little bit. Just kidding. Here we go.
Lord, I just want to tell you tonight how much I appreciate Amy, Lord. And God, I tell you, when this first happened in my life that I learned about this dreaming thing, it just changed my life. It really did. And so, Lord, that is what we want, God. We are asking you tonight to impart to every single person. Nobody goes home empty-handed, Lord. It's an incredible moment of birth, God. And we ask you to do this. And we speak such a blessing on this precious couple, Lord. Thank you so much, God. It was so rich tonight.
I want you guys to just raise your hands, both hands if you can. And I just want you to receive. Father, with everything that is good and holy and pure that you have imparted in me, Father, I ask you to impart into this house. I ask you to impart into this house and these people, Father. As you see their hands raised in symbolism of receiving, I ask you, Lord,
to come on them, rain down on them. Rain down on them with revelation. Spirit of revelation, I ask you to go home with these people and walk with them. I impart into them everything that you have taught me, that I've learned, the revelations that you have given me, Father. Father, that it would be sown on good soil, not to be stolen. Father, that they would pass the test that would come to test this revelation. I ask you, Lord, to come and be with your people, to engage with your people, Lord. Your bridal company, Father, I ask you to engage with them. Father, they have repented for any ways that we have dismissed you, in any ways that we have dismissed you, Father, we repent now, Lord. We ask you to cover us with your blood. Receive from him. We glorify you, Lord. We call you holy and honorable and worthy in all of your ways. Thank you for opening our hearts and our minds and our spirit to this dream world, this parabolic message. Lord, I just ask you to give them supernatural revelation in how to interpret dreams and symbols, Lord. Supernatural in the name of Jesus. Amen.